He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. I invite you to be seated. So as Hannah mentioned, last week we talked about Jesus' miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 with the five loaves of bread and two fish. And so now we're going to take a look at an event that happened right after that, right after the feeding of the 5,000. This is what happens next. So let's get right into it here in Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 45. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea and he was alone on the land. Okay, we're going to stop here. So there's a couple phrases here that always jump out to me. Every time I read anything in the Bible, there's always things that like jump out at me. And the first thing is he made the disciples go. Why is the question I ask myself. Why did he have to make them go? Well, I'm guessing, because remember what we talked about last week. They had just gotten back from going out two by two, preaching and teaching and healing. They got back to Jesus and they wanted to share everything with him. They were tired. Jesus said, let's go off to a desolate place and rest. Remember, they didn't even have time to eat. And before they could get any of that alone time, the people started showing up. Jesus had compassion on them. And they still haven't had time to rest. And I'm also guessing that they could sense a storm was coming on. And they didn't really want to have to row across the Sea of Galilee to the other side. And I got a map up here just to give you an idea of where they were. So Bethsaida is there in the upper right on the Sea of Galilee. So the feeding of the 5,000 would have happened in that general area on one of those mountains. And so Jesus is asking them now to go back to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So Capernaum right there was kind of Jesus' home base. That's where Peter and Andrew and James and John were from. That's where they lived. And Jesus kind of made his home base there. And so the wind was coming from the Capernaum side across. And this is the storm that Jesus is making the disciples go. So that's why he had to make the disciples go. The next phrase that jumped out is Jesus dismissed the crowds. Remember, they are with 5,000 plus. It's just 5,000 men, so probably 10,000 to 15,000 people. With the feeding of the 5,000, that miracle, Jesus stays behind and dismisses the crowds. You may think, well, so what? Well, last week we saw that Jesus had compassion on the people. You remember that Greek word, splach, enzomai? At least that's the way I say it. Splach, enzomai. It's that compassion. Jesus felt it in his gut for these people who were like sheep without a shepherd. And so even though he and the disciples needed rest, he had compassion on them. And so again here, because he's dismissing the crowd, we see the good shepherd in action again. He does not just simply leave the people. You know, kind of like if I'm done with my sermon, I just leave. I go right out the door, get in my truck, and go home. That's not what Jesus did. He wanted to stay and dismiss the crowd, because that's what a good shepherd does. He still has compassion on the people. He has a heart for his sheep. He wants to dismiss each and every one of them. And then after this, of course, this jumps out to me. Jesus went up on a what to pray? A mountain. Of course he did. And he needed to be alone. This is another reason why he made the disciples go ahead of him, because he needed some alone time. Jesus is experiencing challenges right now to his mission. His popularity is growing. Anywhere they go, there's people wanting them to touch him, heal their sick. They want to hear what he's talking about. His disciples are always not getting it. Remember, they couldn't figure out the feeding of the 5,000. There's a number of other things they just didn't understand. They couldn't figure it out. Jesus experienced challenges in his mission, and so will we. You know, when we go about the work, go about God's work, whether it's me as a pastor, whether it's you all doing whatever you do, God's work, you can expect Satan to attack. You know, when I went to the seminary in 2016, I was told by some people that had gone through the seminary that I can expect to be attacked by Satan more because I'm at the seminary. And guess what? It was true. Even though I was technically in God's word every day, I never felt further from God. See, Satan didn't want me there. He doesn't want us doing stuff. We can look at the context here of Promise. Things seem to be going well. You know, attendance is growing, membership's growing, whatever. This is going on, that's going on. We can expect Satan to attack, and guess what? He is. Because he doesn't want good stuff to be going on. And he's putting challenges in front of Jesus on his mission as well. So we can expect it. We can expect challenges. Let's go on here, verse 48. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. All right. So you know what? Sometimes we become desensitized to things because we hear something a lot. But did you catch that? Jesus is walking on water. This is a big deal. It's not something you see every day. Jesus is showing his divine nature. He's showing that he is the Son of God. He can just walk across. He doesn't need a boat. And the disciples didn't connect it at the time because of their fear. But the walking on the water thing isn't new. Surprise, surprise. This is one of those connecting themes in the Bible. Just showing us that once again that the Bible is simply just one narrative of events. Let's take a look at a few passages in the Old Testament. From Job 9, verse 8, talking about God here, Job is, who alone stretched out the heavens and trampled the waves of the sea. Let's look at Psalm 77, 19. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. Wow, it seems like God has done these kinds of things already. Isaiah 27, 1, in that day, nope, hold on, go back. In all three of these passages, there's an Isaiah passage I forgot to put up there, but it's basically talking about how God walking on the waters. And so all three of these passages, the sea is God's pathway and his means of travel. And also remember, God saved his people Israel by splitting the sea so that his people could walk across. Yeah, this theme is nothing new, the fact that Jesus is walking on the water. You know, another interesting thing about the sea, it's the thing that we need to remember here as we're looking at these kinds of events that happen, especially with the sea. A lot of times the sea is depicted as chaos. or disorder. Even in literature from way back then, the sea is where the evil is, where chaos is. But notice again, Jesus is on top of the sea walking. Now, here's two more passages for you. Isaiah 27. In that day, the Lord with his hard and great and strong sword. Remember, the sword is also used to explain God's word. Will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent. Leviathan, the twisting serpent. And he will slay the dragon that is in the sea. Now let's jump to Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. To put it simply here, Jesus tramples the chaos. Let's go on here, verse 50. Take heart, Jesus says to them. It is I. Do not be afraid. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. For they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. You see, the disciples are terrified. You know what? They were scared. They were crying because they thought they saw a ghost. And if you and I are honest, we would have been right next to those disciples, wetting ourselves with fear too. Because not only was someone, Jesus, walking on the water, remember, there's a storm, it's wavy, and he's walking on water. It's not like it was perfectly calm like a sheet of glass. It was windy, it was wavy, it was a storm, and Jesus is walking on it. You know, despite being the Lord of all creation, the Son of God, Jesus comes to his disciples in their fear and gets into the boat with them. This is the Son of God. This is the Good Shepherd showing his love, his heart for his flock. Yet again, it doesn't use this word, but he most definitely had that splachizomai, that compassion on his disciples. So let me ask you here this morning, July 28, 2024, what kind of sea is your boat floating on right now? What kind of chaos is your boat in? Do you feel like you're being tossed about every which way in your boat? Are you terrified your boat is about to sink? Just like with the disciples, take comfort in the words of Jesus. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And this phrase, do not be afraid, is a phrase that God and his angels like to use. And this was also used in Mark 16. After Jesus rose from the tomb, remember the angel said to the women, you're looking for Jesus? Don't be afraid. He is risen. He's not here. Do not be afraid. When Jesus got into the boat, it says the winds ceased. And guess what? The good news for you today is that Jesus gets into the boat with you. You know, an interesting nugget here. Throughout history, churches have been made, you know, intentionally with meaning. In churches, there is a part called the nave. Obviously, we're not in a traditional church. We're in a gym. But this would be considered the nave. Take a look at the picture here. This is the way traditional churches were made. And you see the part there? That's the nave. This is the part where everybody sits, where everybody gathers. This word comes from the Latin word navis, which is also where we get the word navy, by the way. And this means ship. We are in a ship. The use of this word is deliberate. It's meant to portray the reality that the church is a ship, protecting those inside it from the waves and the wind and the storms that we all face. You know, this is where we hear God's word, where we are reminded that we are indeed sinners. We are in need of a Savior. And this is also where we hear God's word of comfort, that we have been saved. We get to hear the gospel. We are reminded that Jesus is our good shepherd who has compassion on us in the ship. He cares about you. So much so that he's not just willing to get into the ship, into the boat with us, but he's willing to take each and every one of your sins to that cross where he bled for and died for you. And then 3 days later, he rose for you. Why? So that you and I can be in heaven with him forever, where the sea will be no more. There will be no more chaos. There will be no more crying. There will be no more tears. There will be no more nothing bad. It'll just be us and Jesus hanging out. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have made us your own dear children through holy baptism. Strengthen us with power by your Holy Spirit in our inner being, that your Son may dwell in our hearts through faith and that we would be rooted and grounded in love. Thank you so much, Jesus, for getting in the boat with us. Heavenly Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, as you preserved Noah and his family and brought forth new life from the ark under the promise of your covenant, the rainbow, bless now our families also. Make marriages strong and fruitful according to your will. Let your word rule in every home, uniting its members in forgiveness and causing your Son to dwell in every heart through faith. Lord of might, spare us and future generations from wickedness. Give blessing to our nation and its leaders to rule according to your good pleasure, and protect the members of our armed forces, police, and other public servants. And Heavenly Father, we, your people, cry out for your healing upon Brad and Jeff and Connie and all those